Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 219 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for July 2nd, 2015. I am your host, Mark Huznes, and I don't know about y'all. Well, probably not most of y'all, because y'all probably mostly don't also live around the Chicagoland area. But I am excited for Anime Midwest this upcoming weekend. I am sad, of course, that I cannot be at Anime Expo out in Los Angeles. But I am happy that I am at least able to attend one convention, which is the little old Anime Midwest. And if any of y'all are actually going to be there, then I would love it if y'all said hi to me. If you just spot me, look for a really, really pale white guy with a decent-sized beard. It'll probably be shiny because I treat my beard better than the rest of my entire body. I don't really put much effort into any of my appearance, but I do like to keep my beard somewhat healthy and refreshed, so I oil it every day, which maybe sounds weird, but it's just, you know, a little bit of oil to, like, keep the hair healthy. And it just ends up shining a bit immediately after. It's not a long-lasting shine. But this is not the beard podcast. But I'm excited to go. I'm actually, while there won't be as much news or whatnot coming out from Anime Midwest as there is going to be from Anime Expo, because that is a big convention and this is a smaller convention, I do like the fact that it's going to be on the smaller side. I've never been, so this will be my first year, and I'm much more excited to attend this because of the smaller size. I think Anime Expo is great for the news and whatnot that will be coming out about it, but I'm not so sure about, you know, I think it's something that those bigger conventions are much better for consuming from a distance, because then you can actually see and you can see all of what is going on and not kind of miss out on a lot of what's happening because you're unable to attend every single panel and do all that. So with a smaller convention, you're able to experience a lot more of it, and that's what I'm excited about. And I'm just not the biggest fan of huge crowds, so the smaller the better as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, like I said, if any of y'all will be there, let me know. And if you see me and say, oh, I heard on the podcast that you said if you see me, then to say, hey, I'll give you a little free piece of artwork. Nothing major, just a little postcard, but they regularly go for $5. So you can get yourself 5 free smackaroos. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I should probably just get into what I've been watching and everything. And yeah, I will say that I was looking at the older episodes and I noticed, oh yeah, I talked about that Princess Jellyfish show and how it was going to be leaving Netflix really, really soon. So people should watch it if they're interested. And then I completely forgot about it, probably because I disliked watching anime through Netflix so much and I just didn't watch another episode, so I'm a little bit disappointed about that, but what are you gonna do when they come for you, bad boys, what you gonna do, what you gonna do when they come for you? You're not gonna watch stuff on Netflix, because Netflix is full of bad boys, and we're gonna be getting taxed for Netflix and probably other streaming services in Chicago, because we are in such a huge amount of debt. Hooray for Chicago. But anyway, I will be talking about on this here episode, Recon, Ongo, Sword Art Online, and Wolf Girl and Black Prince. Not in that order. So yeah, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. I've often heard people complain and hate on, quote, slice of life anime, and I could never understand why, because the series that were thrown in my face as slice of life anime were series like Golden Time, and I definitely won't get the title right, The Kawaii Guide to Hostile and Manner Behavior, something along those lines. That's the one fault. That's the one negative for shows with really, really long titles. It's that I think they're fantastic and they make me chuckle, but they're really hard to remember. At least remember exactly, perfectly. And there I go saying shows and series. I really want to say series and not shows, but it's a habit. And I also go between the two, but let's just not even talk about that. Anyway, the whole slice of life thing. I couldn't understand why people would hate on them, because the ones that I've watched were always really, really good. At least they were until I watched Recon. And I think the problem is that one, slice of life is thrown out there as a descriptor way too much. Or either it's just a descriptor that is way too vague and way too open for many different meanings and can cover a lot of different series, in the same way that calling something action or horror can be a lot. Well, I don't know if that's exactly true, but I bring that up because Recon is a slice of life anime, and it's also billed on various certain sites. We'll call it a horror anime. And if you go into Recon wanting horror or expecting horror, you are going to be, there is no even way of measuring how disappointed you will be, because there is nothing scary about Recon. Nothing. It is as far from scary as any show could possibly get. But it is super slice of life. And I think what people hate about slice of life is very apparent in Recon, and that is there is no overarching story at all. It is really just a bunch of random nonsense that in the end has no meaning. And if what you're experiencing episode to episode isn't great, isn't amazing, then the lack of an overarching story is just, it makes it so much worse. Because a show like Hojuki no Retetsu, which I talked about an episode or two ago, that's very slice of life, because it's not really showing you a overarching story. There's not really a beginning, a middle, and an end. You're just getting a bunch of different days in the life of this particular demon. And nothing much more than that. You just get to see him on a various handful of work days. But it works because the characters are great in that series. The little vignettes, the little stories they have each episode are great, and it's just a fun show. But in the case of Recon, where it sounds like I keep saying Recon, R-E-C-O-N, but it's R-E hyphen K-A-N, exclamation point. You gotta emphasize that. Recon. Now it just sounds like I'm in Star Trek or something. But with Recon, the characters are not all that interesting. The show is about this little girl. Well, not, why am I calling her a little girl? That's going to make you think she's really little. She's, I think they're all freshmen in high school. So, teenage girl who can see and talk to dead people and can also talk to cats. Though she only ever talks to this one cat. Though she doesn't really talk to this one cat. It just kind of is always there trying to look up all the girls' skirts and check on panties, because that's what that cat does. And that cat is distinctively different looking than all the other cats, which have a more realistic look. This one is much more cartoony and just stupid. But she can talk to dead people. And those are sort of like her best friends until she meets these group of girls who become friends with her. But until then, these ghosts have been her main friends throughout her life. And she likes to help them out by either cooking them food or getting them certain gifts, or, you know, buy them various or knit them sweaters and stuff like that, which is just kind of weird. But that's really all it's about. And her friends pretty much all accept this. Nobody really cares except for her one friend who she seems to want to be closest with, despite the fact that she is like super hesitant. And the star is, her name's Amami, and her friend is Inoue or something like that. It's not really important because the characters are just not that interesting and it's not that great. But I don't know. It was weird watching it because I only kept watching it because I wanted to see if anything would ever change. And I read some people talk about how they really liked episodes later on, and I wanted to see if maybe there was an overarching story, but there isn't. There's nothing. It's just a bunch of nonsense. And it's emphasized by like that cat who really just only exists to try and get after these panties. And the ghosts aren't particular. The ghosts can be the most interesting part just because they're goofy in their own ways. One of the ghosts that is kind of one of the stars of her group is, I believe his name, well, what he's referred to as the roll call samurai, and he kind of likes Amami. But she doesn't feel the same way, not that kind of liking. But yeah, I mean, it's just a pointless show. That's really what it is. And I think when I'm watching something that is completely pointless, I'm more accepting of it if it's shorter, if it's like 11 minutes, because I'm thinking, well, the comic artist and his assistants is very much the same thing. It's just a bunch of nonsense. But it's 11 minutes of nonsense as opposed to 24 minutes of nonsense. And in that 11 minutes, it's kind of broken up into three different little short bits of like 4 minute nonsenses. So it's a lot easier to take in really, really small bites of nonsense as opposed to an entire episode of nonsense that really means nothing in the end. And I can see now why people aren't huge fans of the quote slice of life shows series, but I think that term is something that needs to be addressed more so than people who just adamantly hate on anything referred to as slice of life. Because you can have something that is slice of life but also has an overarching story and has this at least somewhat of a narrative. Because like with the kawaii guide to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is just sort of like a bunch of nonsense, but at the same time it is about the main dude going after or trying to get the one girl to fall for him, to like him, and you see that gradually happen. There is a progression, and you can see that throughout the series, as opposed to this, where it's just like, oh, time has passed, but okay, whatever. Time just passes because time inherently does pass. But yeah, I just kind of watched it because why not? I'm someone who I just want to at this point watch all the anime. So I think I've mentioned this before, but unless I really, really hate something, if it's actively pissing me off, then I'll stop watching it. But if I'm just kind of meh, if I'm just kind of like, eh, I'm not, this is, like tofu without anything added to it. I've never had tofu, but I've often heard that tofu by itself is just very, very bland and plain, and you need to add something to it for it to have any kind of flavor or whatnot. So this is just kind of like tofu without anything added to it. And it's easy to chew and swallow and all that jazz, but in the end, it's just kind of you're left thinking, well, did I actually eat anything? I don't know. Who knows? That could all make no sense as well, because maybe tofu is the most delicious thing in the world. I don't know. I've often thought about getting tofu, but every time I'm at a restaurant, I'm like, what if I don't like this? I'm gonna waste a whole meal, a whole bunch of money on. Oh, I don't. Tofu is not like super expensive. It's not like I'm buying a fancy butthole snake. Snake? Yeah. I love ordering snakes, especially those fancy rib-eyed snakes. I'm of course talking about steaks. I just can't talk. But yeah, Recon is just a bunch of pointless nonsense that isn't really memorable at all. And I don't see any point in watching it if you have any other show on your bucket list, on your backlog. Also, I just have to reiterate that it is in no way scary. Why any place would bill it as a horror anime series is just beyond me. I think on Crunchyroll it was listed as horror, and I'm like, I looked at all the like little snapshots, and I'm like, nothing seems scary. I read the bio, and I was like, that doesn't sound too scary. And then I watched it, and after I finished watching all of them, I was like, that wasn't really too scary. I mean, and by not too scary, I mean not at all scary. There's nothing about it scary. And I'm a big baby. That should be pointed out. I'm the kind of person who, if I'm watching a horror movie, I'm going to be curled up in a ball, and I'm going to be wearing a hoodie, no matter how hot it is, so that if I'm feeling nervous, I can just throw that hood right over my face. But that was never an issue with Recon. And also, one other thing I want to point out is that it is a very, very, well, I don't want to say it like it's super unpretty. Unpretty. It's not a very good looking show. And it is a show that was part of the spring season 2015. So it's not an old show, but it looks like it is from 5 or so years ago, you know, around there or something. It's not particularly sharp visually. There's not a lot of color. There's not a lot of vibrancy. It's not particularly stylish in any way. It's not unique. It's very, very bland, which goes with the entire show, which is just this bland thing. I'd say the one thing I got a kick out of every episode, and this is just because, one, it was random, and it's always fun to see someone get hurt, kind of. But the one guy in their group, who also has an older brother who looks just like him, who comes into play at in a few cases, but the one guy whose name is, I don't know, but he's always butting in, and all the girls in the group, they just like throw things at his face all the time. And sometimes they just use the same shot, and you see it 6 or more times in an episode. And I love that about it, because I just love seeing this exact same shot sprinkled throughout an episode every time he comes up and says something. You know, halfway through a sentence, he's just beamed in the face with a stapler or a ball or whatever. And yeah, that was the one redeeming quality of Recon, is seeing this one boy get beamed in the face over and over and over again. So if you like seeing boys get hit with balls in the face, this is the series for you. Yeah. When people ask for anime recommendations, there are a few series that seem to be recommended more so than the others, and one of them is Sword Art Online. I've been recommended it for a long time, and it looked interesting, and I wasn't avoiding it, but I just never got around to actually watching it until today. I watched the first 2 episodes because I just was like, why not watch something that is a bit more, I don't want to say popular, but a bit more, let me just get in on what all these people are talking about. Let me see what, you know, all these chefs are talking about in their kitchens or whatever. But yeah, I watched the first 2 episodes and I'm kind of liking it. I think the immediate comparison would be something like Log Horizon, and there are similarities, but it's different in quite a few ways as well. And the ways in which it is different, it interests me more. One, There is a lot at stake in that if you die in Sword Art Online, you die in both the game and the real world. So there's already that huge risk in the world. There's a lot more chance and a lot more danger. It's not like Log Horizon where you can just do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about getting killed. Of course, there's the whole memory thing going on, but when you don't have to worry about life and death, you can take a lot more risks. You don't need to be as cautious as you do in the world of Sword Art Online. And while there's a mystery in Log Horizon as to why all of that happened and what's going on there, and in that case, it's much more like they have literally been transported to that world. Sword Art Online, they are connected to that world through the way they would enter the game normally, and there's just been this link that can't be severed or they will die. And we don't exactly know why the creator of the game did it, but we know that he purposefully did it, and that the only way to get out, the way to escape and return to the real world, is to complete the game. And we don't know how exactly one gets out of the game world in Log Horizon. So we know that as well. So that is a bit more interesting. Well, maybe it's not interesting. Maybe having that mystery is nice. But we get the mystery, at least, that we don't know why everything's happening. And I'm glad that we got that explanation. Because when the show was starting and they were talking about how this game is super popular and it just launched and it sold out everywhere and, you know, it sold out of its 10,000 copies in its first run, its first printing, I'm like, what game would only print 10,000 copies that would expect to sell rather well, that was seemingly fairly popular? Why would they only make 10,000 copies of it? And it makes sense, because all along the plan was that all the people who would be going into the game would be unable to log out and have to beat the game in order to escape. And if you had a game that sold 1 million copies in its first, I mean, that would be a much bigger issue. And then there would just be so many characters in the game as well. So that makes a bit more sense, since it's more of a game for the creator than just a game for everyone else. I do like the visuals, and the action wasn't too bad. But I can't say too much because I have only watched two episodes. I've only met two of the, I believe, will probably be main characters. There might be a few more that were in the first two episodes. But Kazuto, who's, of course, the main character. And then Asuna, who is, I don't know what her class is exactly, but she knows what she's doing, and it's clear that she's probably going to be the female lead of this series. So, yeah, I'm excited to continue watching more. And, I'm curious to see how it continues to differ from Log Horizon, just because I can see the comparisons, I've heard the comparisons, and one thing I will say is that I do like the visuals more in Sword Art Online. I think there's more color to it. It just seems already that it's going to be more interesting and a bit more unique visually as opposed to Log Horizon, which is very just kind of stereotypical in ways. But I'm excited to continue watching it. Another interesting thing about the show and the world is that, and I'm not sure if this will change at a point, if someone will figure out how to, well, no, I don't think they would be able to manipulate it, because I would assume the creator can control everything. Or maybe he'll throw it in there, who knows? I don't know, you know, because you probably already watched the series. But there's no magic in the world of Sword Art Online, which might be why it's called Sword Art Online and not Magic Art Online or RPG Art Online. but I'm excited to watch it. And I do really like the fact that death is actually a thing in this world. And it's not like Log Horizon where there's no real penalty other than the memory thing, which, yeah, that's That's a problem. That's something nobody wants to worry about, but I mean, that's something nobody wants to deal with, but actually dying, that's a much bigger thing to be concerned about. I forgot a few things about my real life. Oh, I'm dead. I think I'll lose the memories before I lose my life. Sword Art Online. Ching. I don't know. So I watched the first three episodes of Wolf Girl and Black Prince, and I didn't really know much about this series, apparently. It was in my queue for quite a while on Crunchyroll, and I never got around to watching it, but I heard someone mention that it was a very punny show, and I love me some good old puns, but I did not notice a great number of puns in the first three episodes, and I also did not know what the show was apparently in that I thought she was a literal wolf girl, the main character. Wait, what? I don't know what just happened. I think I had a stroke because I feel like I said character wrong, and then I said character again, and it sounded right in my head, and then I was confused as to what the word actually was, but that doesn't really matter, because like my head thinking she'd be a wolf girl, she was just a girl who cried wolf, making things up all the time. And I am, of course, referring to Erika, the main female protagonist of the show, the wolf girl in question. And she fakes having a boyfriend, takes a picture of one after these two friends she's made, friends in quotations, start questioning whether she actually has a boyfriend. And this guy who goes by Sata, and I'm not sure if she goes by Erika or her surname, because, you know, in anime and in Japan, who knows? They switch around all the time. But Sata is this incredibly attractive. All the girls are into him. They all want him, but he's never had a girlfriend. He apparently sleeps around, but I don't know if that's some facade or what yet. But he basically, after agreeing to fake this relationship, he then turns Erika into his dog, essentially. Or, you know, well, not really his wolf, because nobody has a pet wolf. Not really most people, but he turns her into his dog and will have her do things for him, and will even take it quite literally at points and throw a stick and make her fetch it. Or just, he'll, you know, end the relationship if she doesn't. But yeah, it's an interesting show, I guess, but it does feel like it's going to be fairly typical in that, okay, he's just using her now, but in a sense, you can't feel that bad about it. You can't hate him too much, even though he's being a dick, because he is, after all, continuing this fake relationship when he is a person who could get pretty much any girl he wanted and could be in a relationship with anyone. He's that desirable, and he's faking it with this seemingly nobody. So there's that, you know, you can't hate him for that. He's being somewhat nice while also being incredibly cruel. It's a really cruel world, this, where Wolf Girl and Black Prince takes place, because no one's particularly nice. Even when somebody seems nice, they end up faking it. And the third episode in particular, where Sata was sick, you could see it kind of, you could see somewhat of a opening up to each other. In that one, Erika is starting to fall for Sata, because he is nice at times, and basically because he looks at Erika as being his, so nobody else should be treating her bad. He can do whatever he wants, but no one else can. But she really is genuine when she's helping him when he's sick, and he notices that and thanks her, and that kind of freaks her out. And there are other things going on. And of course, it's, unless I would enjoy and be quite pleased by a surprise twist to the way it wraps up, but it looks like it's going to fall down the oh-so-common path of, oh, these, I guess, opposites coming together and, you know, the crazy whatnot's going to happen, and they'll end up falling in love with each other. She's already getting there, and he's going to end up realizing that he actually kind of likes her because she's different. And not just because she's so willing to accept being a dog just to fake this relationship. So yeah, it's all right. It's not blowing me away. It's not doing anything incredibly special yet. Visually, it's nothing to run home about. But yeah, perfectly acceptable. And yeah, I'll keep watching and let y'all know what I think as I watch more. I don't know why he's Black Prince, though. I don't know that title, what that is a reference to or something. If it's black for being mean, which I don't... Okay. But Wolf Girl, she cries wolf. Oh, that's the worst wolf cry in the world. God, I'm terrible. It's here is the show, Wolf Girl, Black Prince, and the Man of Terrible Impressions. Ongo is a murder mystery series, and one of the first series I ever put into my queue, because it just looked interesting, and I don't know why it just crossed my path, and I was just like, yeah, this looks interesting, so I'll check this out at some point, and that point has come along. I don't know what exactly to make of the show. It is very kind of paint by numbers in many ways, in that there's no real surprise to any of the mysteries. I've watched 3 episodes, and I can always figure out who the perpetrator is in the very beginning of the episode. So when something happens, crime happens, and they're talking to some of the people who are, you know, no one's exactly a suspect at first, but the people who are involved in the case, it's pretty obvious that, oh, it's going to be this person, because you think that's going to be a twist, but it's not. It's super obvious, which is something very common in these type of shows, you know, whether it's CSI or Castle, you know, the shows we watch here, the live action shows. So there's no real surprise in that. And the story, the overarching story, it seems like it's starting to come about. So at least maybe there's that to look forward to, and that it's not just an episode of individual mysteries, though each episode can probably be taken on its own and enjoyed. But, yeah, the thing that's very confusing to me that I don't understand is this kind of supernatural element to it with the two main detectives. Well, one's a detective and one's, I don't know what the hell he, she, it is. But Yuki, the main dude who's called the defeated detective, because I guess he's always been defeated, or lets himself be defeated. I'm not sure why he's called the defeated detective. But his partner is this... At first, you think it's just this little boy, Inga, who wears this kind of, I don't know, cat, panda, something hoodie-looking thing, and is just really, really excited about stuff. And then later on, you see there's a tall, sleek... sexy, if you want. I don't know. I don't find characters particularly attractive in any show. I don't get attracted to animated characters, but this sleek, sexy, pale, Inga's pale, but then there's this pale woman who shows up who looks an awful lot like Inga in terms of color and all that stuff. And you find out, I mean, it was obvious, it wasn't a surprise when they reveal that, but that is Inga, who transforms into this woman when he gets super excited or whatever and is ready to help with the case, because in that form, she Ingashi, not Ingahi, Ingashi, that's what I'm going to refer to him as, Ingahi and Ingashi. Ingashi is able to ask anyone one question and they have to answer it. They can't tell a lie, they have to tell the truth. So that's kind of his trump card whenever he's trying to solve a case. I don't understand that. It's a very weird element to the show, and I don't get it. I'm hoping there's some kind of explanation, because it's just really weird. And I really don't like the fact that three episodes in, Yugi, has to remind the audience that, oh, there's no point trying to avoid it. You're going to have to tell the truth. I don't need to be reminded that every time she asks that one question, the people have to tell the truth. I've already got that just drilled into my head after the first episode. I don't need to be told that over and over and over again. That's annoying. And if they keep doing that, if the 11th episode hits, which it's an 11 episode series, so it's somewhat shorter. I mean, only an episode two shorter, but it's on the shorter side. But if the 11th episode is still telling me how you can't not tell the truth when Ingashi asks a question, don't even try it, I'm gonna kill someone so that Ingashi will come to my house and then I can try and not tell the truth, which I know will not be successful, because before I'm even able to answer or try and lie, Yuki's going to tell me, don't even bother. You're going to have to tell her the truth. And blah, blah, blah. But it's well done. I like the visual styling of it. There's a lot of kind of elongated characteristics to many characters. It's a very kind of muted color palette, which works with the show. But yeah, it has some interesting points, but I'm not sure if it'll ever get out of this very typical place that it's in, because it's not doing anything super surprising or original, or, I mean, other than having this Inga Hishi character that is just weird, and really, I just don't understand why she exists. But other than that, it's a very kind of paint-by-numbers mystery show. And if that's something you're looking for, then it's well done. And if you don't mind not being surprised, then Ungo is worth checking out. And of course, it is only 11 episodes, so it'll be easy to get through relatively quickly. But yeah. I'm curious to see where the story goes, and I just want to know what the hell is the deal with this Inga Hishi nonsense, because it's just ridiculous. And Inga, he gets so excited, it's ridiculous. He gets like, I can't contain myself anymore. I gotta transform into this Inga Hishi, and then ask this question. Come on, tell me. I want to know the answer to this question. And then they have to answer. Just weird. Super weird. Insane Ninja!
Shing! And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PX Sausage. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. The show can be found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, YouTube, wherever you feel like listening to it. And if you haven't already, it actually would be greatly appreciated if you subscribed, rated, and reviewed the show on iTunes, because that really does help out more than you might think. And if you are into video games, I do record a podcast every other week called Pixelated Radio with a group of fine fellas. And yeah, that's all about the video games, and definitely worth checking out. And one of my fellow co-hosts from that show does a show about racing. So if you're into cars that go really fast, you should check out Sports Car Unleashed at scunleashed.com. That is, of course, on iTunes, as are all the shows mentioned. And, yeah, if you have any questions, comments, rants, I don't know what, you can leave a comment on the post. You can tweet at me, going tweet, 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 tweet.
or you could email the show directly at psp@pixelatedsausage.com, or do whatever you want. I don't know, find out where I live through the internet and throw a brick through my window. Please don't do that. But if you have any questions, etc., I'd love to hear them. And so I bid y'all farewell for now, and hope y'all have a lovely rest of the day, and I look forward to letting you hear me talk in the future. And I hope y'all look forward to that too. So cheers, and let loveliness find its way into your day. Lærer maður frá frakasti, kuttu ég glendi ekki því sem þú gerði, kuttu þú mátt ekki að vala sér sokki, kuttu finnur þú ekki fyrir núna, farðu, 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 þetta maður mín, elska mín. Mother of me, let that kiss you bad, let that kiss you bad, man. Sjáðu því sem þú gerir, kuttu, núna sjáðu því sem ég mun gera, kuttu, hjartan skal deyja aldrei, kuttu, en þú er ekki hjörtu, farðu, 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 þetta maður mín, elska mín. Mother of me, let that kiss you bad, let that kiss you bad, man.